language that you have there. I can only take 5 seconds of that. That's done. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Drive Through HR. You are not listening to a webinar that Jessica Millimaro or Kerry Corbin or anyone else is doing right now. You're listening to us. Come on now. That's what it matters, because we have a fantastic guest in Jason Seiden, and can't wait to talk to him about what's up. And without any further ado, let's just do this. Jason, how are you doing, brother?
I am good. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Do us a favor and the audience a favor and give us a little bit of your pertinence. Introduce yourself, Jason.
So I'm Jason Seiden. I run a company called Brand Amper. But you know what? Jeff Bezos is quickly becoming famous for saying your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. And if we apply that to employer branding, we'd say, you know what? Your employer brand is what your employees are saying when you're not in the room. So the easiest way to think about Brand Amper is it's a web app. It's a light, easy web app that helps companies put some structure to how employees represent the company, to what they're saying. And at the same time, it really lets them listen in to what employees are saying, even though they're not in the room when employees are talking. So on the face of it, just looks like a simple tool that gets people to tell their stories and include the company with it, and behind the scenes, all kinds of rich analytics.
So what's keeping your customers up at night? What's top of mind for them?
Same thing that's top of mind for me. It's helping them navigate some shifting sands with marketing. Traditionally, marketing has always owned the brand. And now with employer branding, HR no longer just owns the asset of people, but now things are getting a little mixed. So what we think about is how the story ends. The Employer Branding Institute, EBI, came out with a study, and I've seen blog posts that highlight the fact that how often does HR own the employer brand? Well, that's gone down over the last few years from 43% to 33%. It's back up a little bit. But then there's other parts of the report that show HR actually owns the employer brand 3 times more often than marketing. So how this story ends, nobody's quite sure, and we want to make sure that we're arming our clients with the information they need to navigate that.
So some of this has to come down to budget, right? I mean, at one point, somebody's got to fund these initiatives. That might be an operational issue. It might be a marketing or PR. Might even be a sales issue. Like, where are you seeing budget come from when it relates to employer brand?
Yeah, candidly, it's different, right? There, companies are increasingly savvy about the need for employer branding. So more and more, we're seeing people who actually own the employer brand. That just right up front. Where that person is in the organization and how much budget control they have before they need to go to a head of recruiting, a head of HR, bring in their counterpart from marketing into the fold, it's different. So we've had everything from directors of employment branding who can make a final decision to managers of employer branding who have to bring a team of people to the table to pull the trigger on something.
So folks like Glassdoor and LinkedIn, and there's going to be a whole host of other large companies, are kind of trying to corner the employer branding market by basically making it, if you use Glassdoor, you can help manage your employer brand. If you use LinkedIn, you can help manage your employer brand. And I know you're friends with both those companies, but what should practitioners be, if they've not done anything, where's their entry point? Like, where do they start?
With us, naturally, right? No, all kidding aside, this is what we spent a year doing, right? Prior to Brand Amper, I had a successful consulting company where we were helping companies answer a very similar question. We just couldn't scale it. So before we decided to, to hit the go button on developing an app, we needed to be really smart on that question. So we looked at 36 competitors who all can claim that they're in the employee advocacy space. And we looked at the platform providers and the enterprise software providers who are increasingly getting into this space. We looked at the agencies and the RPOs. We called our clients. We said, we know what we were selling, but what were you buying? Where was the value? And we ran projects where we could get some data to validate some assumptions we had. And the thing that came back over and over again was that the starting point is far simpler than a lot of companies want to believe. There's a lot of inertia around, well, if we're going to spend something, we got to make a big buy. The reality is that your employer brand is what your employees say when you are not in the room. So if you can do something really light and fast that gives you a true indication of what your employees are saying, and by the way, at the same time, if you can actually shape what they're saying in a positive way, you win. You give yourself a huge head start, and you start to put some guardrails around those future conversations you're going to have across marketing and HR.
Nisha, no, Nisha, I think you're on mute.
I'm sorry, what was that?
No, I think Nisha's on mute. She's got a wonderful question. She just can't get it out. All right, what industries does this really make sense for? So my gut tells me that folks that are in retail or food service or consumer-oriented business models, that they desperately care about it because it affects sales. But your manufacturing, plastics injection molding, facility in somewhere in the middle of rural Texas, they're going to probably be a little slow to care about employer brand. Now, that's just my gut. Tear that apart.
So we actually slice a little bit differently. If you're hiring, you care about employer brand. If you're in a competitive market, you care about employer brand. It really does cut across industries. It looks a little different. What I'll say is where it gets really complex and where it's really important to be on the front lines with your employees and to get them engaged is when you've got a complicated message. So mid to large size companies, that's really how it's going to slice. Because if you think about it, you're right. A local manufacturing plant where everybody in the community knows them, it is what it is. But when you get to a large organization or an enterprise, they really don't have one employer brand. They've got every pocket of employees, whether it's geographic or it's based on level, whatever it is, every pocket of employees actually relates to the company a little bit differently. So it's with those larger companies where things start to get interesting and really important to dial into what your employees are saying and doing.
So, my bad, I thought my phone was working, but then, anyway, I called from mobile.
Sure.
Like, your employer brand is what your employees are saying when you're not in the room, right? So, what it really takes to get your employees to talk positively about your brand?
Oh, my gosh. I love that question. It's a huge fear, right? We go into companies and why would our companies want to do this? And the reason why there's so much trepidation amongst managers is because managers are really accustomed to making asks of their employees. And what we have found over and over again is that if you can give your employees a reason to say something nice about you, they often will. So the way that we bake this into our solution, we're like, why don't we flip the equation? I don't know if an employee is going to want to be an advocate for their company. So rather than demand them to be that, rather than make that the primary goal, why don't we make the primary goal to have that employee be a good advocate for themselves? And then why don't we just make the case that since they work here, since they spend, 40, 60, 80 hours a week toiling away, why don't we give them something as a reward? Why don't we show them how to use the company's brand to enhance their own? And as soon as you can do that effectively, then of course people are going to say good things about the brand because it makes them look good themselves to do so. And Nisha, I'll give you the follow-up, right? And then the next thing that companies say is, well, that sounds good, but if we give them this freedom, what if they say something bad? And here's the beautiful thing. I'm not going to, because it's my story, right? If I'm the employee and this is about me, here's what I'll never say. If I'm great at operations, I'm never going to say, I'm really good at operations, which is really why I enjoy working at this awful, terrible company that is operationally a mess, because it gives me an opportunity to use my operational skills. That's not what I'm going to say. I'm going to say I'm good at operations, and you know, I'm lucky to work in a place with really good people who really care about the mission. You know, I may not talk about where the company's weak, but I'm going to find something good to include in my story because that association works for me. And that's how we get around it. We make it a give as opposed to an ask.
That's a good one. That's a great strategy indeed. And going back to one of your points, you know, the main strategies or main communication channels that organizations should use to communicate their employer brand, right? So when that question comes up, normally we think of, yeah, social media is there, and of course career sites are there. But how about highlighting an employee's employer brand through onboarding, induction, and orientation kind of a initiative?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I listened, I know you had Susan Strayer-Lamott on the show about a month ago, you know, and she talked about this. She talked about doing research internally, and she talked about the brand as a brand. You know, the employer brand is a higher-level concept, and it's really important. She's absolutely right. It's really important that companies keep in mind that their employer brand and their message, it's what employees are saying wherever they are. Social media is a channel, but it's not the channel. So there's a lot of overlap, but it's not the only place. And in fact, this was something that was really interesting that we found in our research this year before actually launching BrandAmper, was that the number one thing that employees needed was permission to talk about the brand in their own way, in their own voice, in their own words. And the reason that they needed that permission was it actually empowers them across the board, right? Not only do they end up writing really good summaries for LinkedIn and saying nicer things on Glassdoor and actually, you know, sending out some of the tweets that the company hopes that they would say, but it makes orientation run smoother. It changes the nature of performance reviews. It changes I call it the Friday night problem. It changes what people are going to say Friday night when they're introduced through a friend to somebody new, and that person says, so what do you do? And historically, you know, you have 15 seconds now to be the most interesting person in the room, and you fumble. You say, well, it's complicated, or, well, what do I do, or what do I want to do? Or, you know, I do two things. If you can help people answer that question for a Friday night in a way where they feel good, where they say, you know, look, I host this radio show, it's, you know, drive through HR, within HR, it's fantastic. It's a daily show, and we bring people from all over together to share that. If you can help people just say that, they will then take it everywhere. Definitely social media, but everywhere else they're talking as well. So, yeah, you start with the high-level concept. You arm them with the ability to talk about the brand. You guide them to take action on social media because that's a specific concrete thing that you can measure and show. But overall, let's make no mistake, we're changing the conversation everywhere the conversation happens.
So from a HR practitioner perspective, how should we do onboarding in the future as it relates to employer branding, like a Hell Week type deal or an indoctrination, or like what's your vision for how we treat people when they first come in and kind of get the story?
Yeah, so it's interesting, Tinkup, because we actually have some companies who are looking at us and asking us if we could actually start orientation within their talent community, right, with amongst the prospects who have not even begun to go through onboarding. And I think, you know, the idea is you want rapid cycle feedback. You want to be able to get people talking in a way where you can listen to them, see themes emerge, so you can understand what attracted people to the company in the first place. And right away, if you see something that's amiss, you've got real-time data that you can then use to shift things around, right? So as a quick example, you know, you may think that you're recruiting people based on your culture. If you have people come in and actually articulate, you know, tell me what you do, right? Have them answer that question. And have them answer that question in a way that you encourage them to include company messaging as a part of it, and then you, this is just on day one, and you find out that everyone's talking about benefits. Nobody took the job because of the culture. They all took the job because of the benefits. You're in a position to now make some modifications to your orientation program in real time to either find out why that was the case, you know, to figure out, you know, is something broken in the recruiting process, or in your onboarding, do you need to take some actions to expose them to culture? So how will onboarding change? I think all the elements are there. I think we should just be taking advantage of these tools to get the insight and the feedback loops in place so we know how to put the pieces together to optimize the program for those new hires.
All right, you've been tinkering around and consulting and interacting with employer branding since I've known you, so for a number of years now. I want you to put on your futurist hat and take us into a world of employer branding, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. So not flying cars and shit like that, but just, you know, where you think all this leads to in the nearer term.
Right. So first of all, let me put a caveat on the whole answer. You know, I can't believe that we're still friends after however long it's been. Had you asked me to predict that, I might know. Nobody I'm meeting today will still be friends with me 6 years from now. So I completely missed on that one. So take this with a grain of salt. I see a shift in how we think about identity. I think there is a mistake it's a universal mistake. And we see it on social. We treat identity as static content, and we treat status updates and blog posts as dynamic content. And think about that for a second. Are you the same person you were 5 years ago? Absolutely not. You know, you may not be the same person you were a year ago. Every time your job changes, every time a life event happens, every time you get a performance review or a new boss or a new team, something about your identity changes. So in the future, I think we need a new suite of tools that help individuals and companies manage dynamic identities. That's where I think this is going, and that's the big shift that I see coming.
That's great. And getting back to from an organizational perspective of managing reputation, how about if in an organization is facing a poor employer branding strategy and it turned out that it's a failure. But how do they go about fixing it?
Sledgehammer, I find, works. Crowbar, like always nice. No, you know what? Nothing's perfect, right? And let's be clear. The English language fails us in some profound ways, and this is one of them, right? We use the same words to talk about going from a failure to something that's average as we would use to talk about taking something that's good to something that's great. We would talk about potential, and we would talk about missed opportunities and closing the gap and the delta. Same language, but very different. Where we can actually use that failure of the English language to our advantage is by saying, you know what, it really, in some respects, it is no different going from good to great than going from awful to average. Your metrics will be different. The specific goals that you're measuring will be different, but the process is the same. Get people talking. Get your problems out in the open where you can see them. If there's good, let's find out where there's good. Let's identify themes that people latch onto. Even the worst companies, people are there for a reason. You could be the most boring, stodgy company on the planet. People are working there for a reason, and even if it's just the benefits, then it's the benefits, and you've got something that you can hook onto and build off of as a foundation. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, hopefully you have more than one thing to hook off of. But even if that's what you got, then that's what you got.
All right, Jason. Well, when you talk about, you know, employer branding or building a brand awareness initiative, normally people think that it's recruiter or HR or marketing cup of tea. But how about business leaders? How should they be delivering on employer branding promises?
It's funny. I just had a meeting with a client last week, and this was the central issue. And I'll share with you how it went. This is a great client, great culture, and you know, I had a senior leadership team in the room because we've done a pilot and things worked, and now people are sniffing around, and they want to know that this is a worthwhile place to invest time and energy and money and all that good stuff. And so I talked to the group, and I'm like, look, in a simple way, you can think of an employer brand is to recruiting as marketing is to sales. And heads all nodded, check the box. I talked about what an employer brand is, and this is what people are saying when you're not in the room, and what drives it. And some of it's going to be your culture, and some of it's going to be leadership, what people see you do, and some of it's going to be, the ownership that employees feel over this. And again, heads are nodding. Then I get to the next part, where I said, based on all this, you leaders, you just have to walk the walk. You need to make sure that you have strong identities. You have to make sure that you are connected to the organization and it's a visible connection. And Nisha, if I tell you, you could hear the record skip. They did not get it. And this is what HR really should be prepared for, is that there's something deeply personal. We talk about employer brand, but as soon as that employer brand is a reflection of what individual people do and say, then as soon as you make the ask of leadership, you just made it personal. And while this didn't happen in last week's session, prior clients, I've literally had CEOs pull me aside and say, here's my question. You're telling me to activate my employees. You're telling me to let them talk on Facebook. I'm going to go home tonight, and I have to look at my 22-year-old son, who I've been telling to clean up his Facebook page. And here at work, you're telling me to let people go. You have to help me figure out the home conversation before I can do that here, because he's just going to call me a hypocrite. And it is literally that personal. William, I know you were down at HR Evolution this weekend. I was down there, and we got into this. And the question came up, when we're talking to senior leaders, how do we make the case and what's the ROI? And my advice to clients and prospects and anybody listening in HR is be prepared with your data, and then that'll buy you a seat at the table. Then be prepared for some really weird personal questions. And until you're ready to actually pull up somebody's LinkedIn profile in front of them and show them the disconnect between how they present in person and how they present online and the impact that has on your employer brand, until you're ready to have that, there is no conversation. That's what you have to be prepared for when it comes to engaging senior leadership.
So people always do better when there's kind of examples of this, and so we're going to take examples out of the examples that you can use. But point us in some directions. Give us some ideas of who you believe is doing this really, really well.
It's interesting. I mean, obviously, the usual suspects. We could go through the typical names, but John Wilson at Wilson HCG just published a list of the 100 top employer brands, and it's a really good list. So I'm going to do something a little bit different with your question, William. I'm going to take it to kind of where we're at and where we're going with all this. Where we're at is really exciting. There's finally enough data out there to publish a list like this. And, John assessed accolades that companies have gotten and the recruitment marketing efforts and the candidate experience, right? And you got Jerry Crispin measuring candidate experience, and we can actually see recruitment marketing and we can see the accolades and, a few other elements. We can see a career site, and we can create some rubrics to make apples-to-apples comparisons on all these. That's awesome. What's missing from all this is the voice of employee. It's still kind of top-down. And as much as I think John's report is fantastic, I see into the white space, and where I'd love to see that next iteration of the report go is have that voice of employee stand apart as something else, where we're not just looking at an employer brand, but we're looking at a company's employer brands plural. With brands plural meaning that it's customized for each employee's experience and each employee's individual networks. It's going to take us a few years to get there, but if you want to see who's doing a good job, pick up the report. That's as good as a yardstick as we've got right now, And I think it's a fantastic foundation to build from, given where we're going.
That's interesting. And going back to one of your points, you know, the ROI or the metrics. So what are some metrics and measurement that you would suggest to our audience when it comes to measuring their initiatives that they do on their employer branding purpose?
Yeah, so we look at this a little bit differently. The key metric that we track is self-identification with the brand. And the reason that we do that is because it's a really good indication of brand resonance amongst your employees. There are a ton of tools out there that will say they do resonance, but when you scratch beneath the surface, what they really measure is reach. They measure how many Twitter followers you have, how many people are retweeting you, how many people saw or liked your Facebook post. We haven't moved far off of that. And, I mean, there's some really, really phenomenal tools, but as soon as a tool is gamified, you know, talking about reach, not resonance. So, you know, let's talk about the importance of resonance, why we care about it so much and why we think it was important enough to build a tool to fill that void. If you think of the impact of a brand as equaling some equation, that equation is going to be your reach, right? How many people have exposure to your brand times resonance, and that's all going to be divided by the cost of getting your message out there. Cost, let's take that off the table, right? That's why we're moving to social media, because we think the costs are lower. But, you know, once you do that, you say, okay, well, on social, if I maximize reach without concentrating on resonance goes to zero, my numerator goes to zero. The impact of my brand actually starts to deteriorate. And we know that. That's called spam, right? Reach without resonance is spam. You put something in my inbox or you grab my attention and waste my time, you've spammed me. So it's really, really important that companies start to bring a focus to resonance. And the number one metric that we put around that to baseline it is how many employees are self-identifying with the brand. And then specifically, we want to break that down. What about the brand are employees resonating with? That gives us incredible insight and power.
That's true. When it comes to employees, they know that their organization has a reputation, but when it comes to answering what your employer brand means, they're finding it really hard to explain it. So how do we fix that kind of a trouble, you know, getting the message out there, or when it comes to building a brand awareness program internally within the organization, what would you suggest to do?
Change the conversation. I think the challenge comes from marketing and HR trying to come up with one message that'll work for everybody, and you're never going to do it. You know, I have a family of four. I can't get everybody to agree on one thing, right? How are you going to do it with 100 people or 10,000 people? Your company is different things to different people. If you can empower your employees to take the company's message, put it in their own voice, and customize it for their own personal networks, and then as a company, listen, put yourself in a position of being responsibly responsive, then what happens is you can start to see trends emerge. And you can emphasize some trends and de-emphasize other trends, but now corporate's in a position of reacting to what's true as opposed to trying to impose what it thinks is true. And that's how that's what we recommend companies do. It's why we did the research. That was our aha moment, was, hey, you know what? If we actually get employees talking first, not after 18 months of focus groups, we get them talking now, we can get the company feedback in 6 days around what people are actually saying, and we can start to slice and dice trends on how our engineers different from salespeople, and you know, how are the themes different across departments. All of a sudden, that whole debate around how do we go about doing this, it's just gone. And what a beautiful thing that is. It's faster, it's cheaper, it's truer. What a world.
All right, Jason, great conversation. We have about 1 minute left at this point, and we really wanted to ask this question to you to help those friend and talent warriors, right, our recruiters. How should they be promoting their employer brands?
Our friends, the recruiters, they should be pretty tight about it. They need to be examples for everybody, right? They are the lead of this whole thing. So it is probably more important for them to get this right than anybody else. They should be out in the market, number one, presenting themselves professionally, number two, presenting themselves as advocates for the company, and number three, showing how those two things actually work together and are not at odds. That's it. Like, you're a recruiter. When I look you up, you should be somebody I want to work with. It's that simple.
All right. Thank you, Jason, for joining us today and sharing your valuable insights about employer branding. So where can our audience connect with you and find out more details about Brand Amper?
Brandamper.com, and you can find me on LinkedIn, SEIDEN. Those are the two best sources to go to. So, of course, Twitter, at Zeiden. And find me online.
Well, thanks, Jason. Have a wonderful rest of the day. And thanks, William. And thanks to all of our audience. And we will talk to you all tomorrow.